On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field too when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman.
This is Alex Smith.
This is Joe Gibbs.
You listen to Redskins Talk
with JP Finley.
One on the play clock, handoff to Adrian Peterson, through a hole, 40, 45, 50, up the sideline, 45, 40, to the 30, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown! Adrian Peterson all the way!
Finally, Adrian Peterson bounces one. It was inch by inch all day, and he takes it to the house. One of the longest rushing touchdown this year up until this point was 4 yards.
What up, everybody? JP Finley. I am in Mitch's car. We are leaving the Meadowlands, driving back to D.C. Mitch is obviously here. Hello, Mitch.
Hey, JP. How you doing, buddy?
And Pete is in the back seat. Pete, what's up, man?
Road trip.
All right. Another big win for this Redskins team. Dominant defensive effort. AP ran the ball like a maniac. The Giants are terrible. I think that's important to point out as well. But defensively, the Skins were just out of their minds. DJ Swearinger had 2 interceptions. They had Eli on his back the whole second half. Impressive win.
Incredibly impressive.
Yeah.
I mean, we were all concerned about Saquon and Odell going off at some point, and that didn't happen. I mean, they really kept...
Odell had a quiet 110-yard day.
Exactly. It was a quiet day.
Right.
I mean...
It's still 110 yards.
It was. Matt Ioannidis made more noise than both of them.
That's right. I mean, look, man, defense travels, and the way they're playing, I'm starting to get very intrigued on what could happen.
The run game travels, too, and...
All that stuff travels, dude.
If all that stays healthy, this is an intriguing team all of a sudden.
All right, before we really dig in here, I want to thank the good folks at Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. Biagi and Hager, go check those guys out. We ride with them. You should ride with them, too. All right, I got a lot on my list here. I want everybody to go follow our Instagram page, at Redskins Talk Pod, and I want you to follow my Instagram page, at JP Finley NBCS. That's at the top of my list, because we hung out with some awesome listeners in New York who told me we need to plug Instagram more. So this is, I'm taking Tak Yamaguchi's advice, plugging Instagram.
And we promise we will be better about responding to DMs to the Instagram page.
Pete. And by we, you mean Pete, which I'm fine with. I will do it.
Yeah.
It needs to be done.
We're going to be better at it. Okay, so I want to get our reactions. We got game balls and goats. We got over-unders. We got to kind of just recap a wild weekend in New York City. Let's just start. What?
We're going to recap the wild weekend?
Yeah, I think we are.
Okay.
As much of it as I remember.
Great.
Pete, what's your reaction to that game?
My reaction is that DJ Swearinger is having the best season by a safety on the Redskins in a long, long time.
All pro level, dude.
He said Saturday night he saw a tweet from Pro Football Focus that listed him as the highest ranked safety. However, it used a picture of HaHa Clinton Dix, who is the second ranked safety. That pissed him off. He said that hasn't happened all year because he's been looking at those tweets, and it was what fueled him on Sunday against the Giants, and just that lack of respect is what's fueling him all year.
I wonder if Dion called this week.
They did. I think they did it in the media room after.
Did they?
Yeah.
All right, good.
Yeah, because four interceptions, a couple forced fumbles on the air, fumble recovery. He's balling
great.
Out.
Yeah, and he's playing at an all pro level, not Pro Bowl. Pro Bowl is for fans that don't understand that distinction. In the NFL, the Pro Bowl is kind of a joke. Not a joke. It's certainly an honor, but all pro is the real deal. A Redskins player hasn't made all pro, I think, in two decades.
Pro Bowl, the teams that are in the Super Bowl, those players don't get to be, aren't involved. Anyone that's injured doesn't go. Guys don't want to go because they don't want to play another game. So you end up with a diluted team there, and so many guys get named Pro Bowlers.
How about this? Alex Smith is a three-time Pro Bowler. How about that?
There you go.
Tyrod Taylor made the Pro Bowl once.
Right.
That first pick from DJ Swearinger was a really pretty incredible play.
And important at the time. The Giants were in the red zone.
He was playing up on the line of scrimmage and knew, I guess, they had help behind him and was able to bypass whatever slot receiver was running at him and kind of jumped the route. It was Odell, right?
Yeah, he said
it. Beat Odell to the route.
He said he saw it in film study that they like to use that concept when they're in the red zone, and that he also works on those like quick reaction interceptions where he barely even had time to process what was happening. He just stabbed it out of the air. So both those things were things that Swearinger works on often.
Well, and two things to say that I thought Mitch would say both, but I'll be Mitch for a minute. One is that it's no coincidence that we went down to Miami and did that video of how DJ Swearinger works out.
Absolutely.
The documentary series. So, no coincidence. Two,
if you guys haven't watched it, check it out.
I tweeted it out today.
It's really damn cool, and it really gives you an awesome behind the scenes.
And you should go back and listen to the interview we did with him. We put it in the podcast back in the summertime. It was pretty cool. Two, and I'm shocked that Mitch hasn't brought this up. We're talking about the secondary. You know what makes... You know what helps the secondary make big plays?
Seven sacks.
The big men up front. And the big men up front are getting it done for the Redskins. All of them, dude. Kerrigan was great. Matt Ioannidis had 2.5 sacks. Payne, Allen, Saquon. I mean, we'll talk about it when we get to the over-unders. They held Saquon to 38 rush yards.
Incredible.
Dude, and think about this. The last 3 weeks, it's been McCaffrey, Zeke, and Saquon. I think Phillips tweeted this out.
Yeah.
Combined, all three of them have not put up 100 yards on the ground.
Insanity.
That's wild.
They were 32nd in run defense last year, and now they're just shutting people down every week.
It's wild, and that travels. As long as you maintain health on that defensive front, I mean, it's – and here's the other part. Ioannidis still isn't playing all that often. Right. He's only out there when they're in base, and most of the time they're in nickel. You know what I mean?
One of the most impressive things today, and I guess I've been seeing it, but today more than any, was that both Payne and Allen were being in the run game, were getting double teamed and chipped left and right. And even if those guys weren't breaking through and making the play in the backfield, they were sticking with the play. And Allen, in particular, had a couple tackles 5, 6, 7 yards downfield. And it's pretty impressive to see how hard those guys keep working down the line of scrimmage as they're fending off 2-3 guys at a time.
Mitch's car is beeping at me because I had to take my sweatshirt off. Sorry, everybody.
Sorry, everybody.
Dude. I mean, do we need to address the elephant in the room at this point?
It's done.
The passing game stinks.
It does. I wasn't done with the big men.
Okay, keep talking big men. How about the hole Brandon Scherff created on Adrian Peterson's home run?
Oh, my goodness gracious.
You could fit Mitch's Honda Pilot through that thing.
Dude, and AP still has the wheels, man.
No, he was galloping.
That was kind of breathtaking to watch.
Pete said to me in the press box, he's like, dude, we just saw Adrian Peterson rip off a 60-yarder.
I mean, that's like watching Jeter do one of those in the hole plays or like Kobe hit a game winner. Like,
right.
That's a great player doing his signature play, and we got to witness it. At a 33-year-old running back in burgundy and gold. It was awesome.
You know what it reminded me a whole lot of?
Portis's first run?
RG3 going 74 yards against the Lightning.
Electrifying!
Electrifying! All the way! Into the
end zone! Druden said Sheriff's the best pulling guard in the league.
And Brandon, with his eyes on his target, you know something good's about to happen. Brandon's the best puller in pro football. And
AP said he loves watching him do his work.
Trent agreed. We asked Trent about Druden saying that, and Trent agreed. Trent called Sheriff a natural-born mauler.
I mean,
that's such a good
on the list
line,
of things to be called, that's really high up on the
somebody
list.
Somebody should make a T-shirt and give that to Sheriff. That'd be pretty fun.
That would be. Somebody was talking today in the locker room or right outside that if there was two guys that you had to grab from the locker room to be in a fight, he's like, Sheriff is definitely one of them.
Who was it? I think it was Tress. It was Tress that told us that. Yeah. He said Sheriff and Ty and Secchi. Who, let's also talk about this, Ty Zeki had to play because Trent Williams dislocated his right thumb. We talked to him in the locker room after the game. He's not sure he can play next week. And there's a lot of time between now and next week. But the Trent thumb injury is significant. Trent, I've seen injured a lot, frankly.
We see him play through
and
everything.
And he always is like, yeah, I'll be all right, I'll be all right. And that one was taking him back a little bit more than he expected. He had a hard cast on his right hand, and you could, the little bit of the thumb you could see didn't look good.
Yeah, you see D linemen play with leg casts and clubs. Do offensive linemen ever do that?
It's kind of hard.
Your hands
you need to grab them and punch them better. Yeah.
But most offensive linemen underneath their gloves have taped up wrists and hand. And when he came off the field after he hurt his thumb, they were trying to work the tape off the wrist / thumb wrap that he had on, and he was wincing noticeably.
Yeah,
it looked. You've seen Trent play through a lot. I've seen Trent very hurt before on the sidelines, and I don't know that I've really seen that kind of pain in his face as they're trying to work on it a little bit. So it's a little worrying, but at the same time, Ty filled in pretty admirably.
What's crazy is that people are always want Nsekhe to play left guard or right tackle. Like, when Moses goes out, like, he is best suited to play left tackle.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Been in the room time now?
And I was calling for him to play guard a lot during training camp. But I said it last week, and I'll say it again. Sean LaValle is playing solid.
Yeah, especially in the run game.
Yeah, for whatever concerns that we all had about what the offensive line might look like, especially because we weren't sold on LaValle, he's been pretty good.
So I want to tell kind of a story about what kind of where I think this team is mentally, especially on the defensive side of the ball. They are like the John Allen quote from training camp.
Being some badass. I mean, simple as that.
Being some badasses. Like, that's their goal.
Yeah.
They're taking it seriously. And so I was down in the tunnel with Mitch when the team was coming off the field, and Josh Norman was furious. He was livid. He was yelling. He was very visibly upset. And I'm like, what the hell is going on here? Like, most of the rest of the guys coming off the field were in pretty good moods. And so eventually we got to talk to Josh, and he was so mad about giving up the garbage time touchdown late. And I think it just shows that was his focus after the game. Not that they're on a 3-game win streak or they're 2-0 in the division. And I got the quotes. I want to read them. So he asked, why did the last touchdown bother you so much? Because it's my fault. When you have a team like that on the ropes, a game ender, and for a player that caliber of that type, talking about Evan Engram, you have to make that play. There's no excuses. It'll come to us. We just have to be patient. And when that time comes, you have to strike. I'll take the win any day, but as a competitor, it sucks. It sucks. And I just think that's the mindset.
Yep.
This team is different. It feels different. 5-2 is no joke. I mean, it's week 8. Like, we're halfway in. You know, it's almost Halloween. Like, this isn't September anymore.
Yeah.
This team might be good.
And the rest of the division is not showing well.
Right.
Left and right. So, it really might be something.
Yeah. DJ was pissed off they didn't blow them out by more and is already talking about Atlanta. Like, there's a lot of guys who just win and move on and not celebrate Jonathan Allen, Daron Payne, or other ones. It's a very cool attitude they have.
Well, DJ is definitely a guy that, if you follow him on social media and stuff like that, you see immediately after the game, like probably on the flight on the way home, he's posting pictures and videos of himself watching game tape and stuff like that. So he's immediately back in the books. And coming off the field after that touchdown, it wasn't just Josh that was pissed. Like, Josh probably kept it going through the post game as they were walking off the field. But guys kind of slammed their helmets down a little bit, were a little salty about it. And, you know, like JP said, that's the accountability that you want to see. Guys that care enough to be upset about giving up a garbage touchdown with, what was it?
22 seconds left.
You know, that, like, the game is over pretty much, and guys were reacting like it was a, you know,
they were first, like, furious.
Yeah, like a first quarter touchdown.
Right. I that just stuck with me because there's a mindset that is impressive with this team right now. Because think about, like, the conversation has been, oh, they can't win 2 in a row. And then this whole week it was, oh, it's a trap game. Skins always. always lose these. And I feel like as the week progresses, there are plenty of nits to pick, right? Like, there are – the passing game is a problem. Like, something's going on. Something's not functioning there. But, like, I think it's okay to take a step and be like, this team might be kind of good.
Yeah, I mean, if we can bring back Hockey Mitch for 1 second.
Let's do it.
As the Caps were going through their Stanley Cup run, they had to exercise a lot of those demons, right? They had to beat the Penguins. They had to beat Tampa Bay. They had to do all these things that they were never able to do all those years that they were. These are the things the Redskins have to do now. They have to win three in a row. They have to not lose a trap game. They have to not get blown out at home when there's, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, all these different things that the Redskins teams that, you know, unfortunately, that we've gotten to know well over the past decade or so have done consistently, or at least in fans' minds is consistent. They have to take those steps one by one and beat each of those demons that are in front of them.
They've are three games over 500 for the first time since RG3's 2012 run, and they have more division wins this year than they did all of last year.
Right.
And very cool.
October 28th.
Yes.
Winning in the division is, I mean, something that we have not seen on a regular basis in a long time. So,
yeah.
It's cool, man.
All right. One more time. I want to thank the good folks at Orsman Automotive of Virginia. Go check out Orsman Chantilly Kia. Go buy a Kia. They're nice cars.
Kia Soul.
Kia Soul.
The Redskins have some Kia Soul, if you will.
Pete thought a Kia Soul cost $5,000 a month. All right. Game balls. Start, Mitch.
I'm going with my man, Matt Ioannidis, who was just flossing all over them. That was awesome.
That was.
That was a joke from John Allen. Bet him in preseason he wouldn't drop a floss and as a sack celebration, and he did in the preseason, and he did right on top of Eli. It was pretty cool. He was dominant out there. The D-line was dominant. That was an awesome performance.
I'll go Sheriff. That, I mean, he was great all day, but that block, the hole he created on the AP touchdown run was like, I mean, you saw this, like, I mean, it was the size of a car, like Pete said. Sheriff.
Drive that Kia Soul right through it.
You're damn right. All the way to Chantilly Kia. Go ahead, Pete.
Adrian Peterson, easiest game ball of the day. Also had a receiving touchdown, first one in a while. Nice broken tackle there on the goal line to get in. So
damn, what kind of, like, in fantasy, AP had 150 yards.
Yeah, he had 30 points in Yahoo PPR.
Wow.
Dude was a beast, and it's just their entire offense. When they need something good to happen, they go to him. They haven't even really used – I mean, they didn't use Chris Thompson today. Jameson Crowder's out again, but just the balls go to AP, and he makes things happen.
Near you.
You.
Just obviously DJ Swearinger.
Yep.
We talked about it at length. No need to say more.
Yep. I think all the D-line guys get it. Deron Payne for me.
Yep.
You know, I tweeted this out like before the season started. Bovada sends me all these emails with all their odds and stuff.
Huh.
And
really?
And I thought Deron Payne, defensive rookie of the year odds, I was kind of intrigued by. I think now he's got to be in the running. Maybe Denzel Ward, the kid Leonard for the Colts.
It's tough because
somebody on Twitter told me somebody on the Bengals is having a really good rookie season. Bates, maybe?
Not John Ross.
Nah, you still owe me for that bet. You've never paid off that bet.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
All right. The problem with Deron Payne is that he's playing extremely well.
But, like, it's not
we see it, but it's not going with the stat book.
Right. You know? But he had a sack today. Dude, yeah. I think he's got 3 sacks on the year, 4 maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah, his impact is felt in the stats of every other player on the defense, too.
Yeah, I mean, when they bottle up Zeke and Saquon week after week, you know, you kind of got to notice that. But
yeah.
I hear you. Big men don't get the love, Mitch.
I know. That's why I'm here.
I'm just trying to shed some light.
Go ahead, Pete.
I'm going to give one to Josh Doctson. Career high in catches. He's played more physical the last couple weeks. Had a really good catch.
Blocking really well, too.
When he was interfered with and held and still held on for a big first down. So it's very small steps, but Gruden says he's starting to feel like he belongs and he's confident, and it's been good to see him kind of contribute a little bit the last couple weeks.
No argument for me.
Me neither. I thought you were going to steal mine when you went Josh, because I'm going to go Harvey Clemens,
Ooh. Who
did a great job of covering Saquon out of the backfield.
It's nice having that speed, dude, in the cover game.
And, like, the size and length.
Yeah.
Like, he's so lanky.
He is lanky.
And he beat a double team and sacked Eli. Might have been the softest sack of Eli's
only
career.
Only Eli could get sacked by
He was, like, on the ground.
So it should have been a penalty because they high-load him. as he was rushing, as he was breaking through the line of scrimmage. But he's on the ground. He just, like, did he even grab Eli's foot, or did Eli just kind of go down on his own?
He had him a little bit. Who knows?
Eli just kind of fell.
But first, I think I read
Eli should not be playing anymore, dude.
First career full sack for Josh Harvey Clemens, so he gets a game ball.
Cool. It was a party in the backfield today, and all the Redskins defenders were invited.
We did Ioannidis, right?
Correct.
Okay. I think everybody with a sack can get one.
Yeah.
Ryan Kerrigan.
Yes.
Did he have a full one or a half one?
He had a full.
I think he had one and a half.
Oh, did he have one and a half?
Yeah. Put one with Ioannidis and got his own.
Yeah, dude. Oh, okay. Kerrigan was
3.5 the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, dude. He's heating up.
Good.
I would like to give one to Mason Foster. Tackling over the field again today. Had a great special teams tackle at the end. And like we said, when
he didn't even make that tackle. He just made the play by forcing it. Yeah. Right. Him covering that punt. We have an interview with Mason that'll run tomorrow on the day after pod. And I told him, that play was so impressive for him to be the first guy down the field and contain.
Zach and Josh are splitting between first and second downs, and Harvey Clemens comes on. But Mason's out there every down, and the last maybe month or so, he's played some really solid football and is just tackling the hell out of people.
He's a sure tackler.
Sure is.
It's a good habit to have. Mitchell?
I got maybe it's a hat tip more than a game ball, but based on what he's playing for, Paul Richardson.
Yeah, he's gotten it out.
Nice one.
Are we giving him a full game ball?
I give him a
half a game ball or a hat tip.
He had a run today.
He had a big block on a Dachshund third down catch. Sorry, Mitch.
Jeez. Making the big man mad, dude.
Like we don't ever interrupt each other
on
this podcast.
Way to go, Pete.
That was the play I was going to bring up. That was, like, for a guy who's battling shoulder and knee pain and whatnot, to throw his body around there and get Dachshund that first down was awesome.
I'm cool with that. I'm going to go hat tip. Jordan Reed had 7 catches today, but for 38 yards.
Yeah.
Pete, why do you keep turning the light on and off?
I'm trying to read my notes. It's too dark back here.
You know what? Tress Way gets a game ball for me. Tress, my guy, and he's
a very important player.
They're playing field position, and he's a huge part of that. I also think, I don't know how people will react, because I know people are flipping out about the 3rd-and-1 play call where they spread him out. I think Jay Gruden did a good job of trying to force the ball to Reed, to Richardson. Like, he ran that reverse triple option shit for Richardson. Yeah. Like he was doing it. Like, Jay is trying to get, like, I feel like Jay Gruden sees the pass game right now and is trying to give it CPR. You know what I mean? Like you know those heart shockers?
He's defibrillating.
He's defibrillating the passing attack.
Defibrillating it.
Right.
But also that 3rd-and-1 that they spread out 5 wide, they hit Mo Harrison for a 20-yard gain.
Also, the play to Reed was there. It was just a terrible throw.
Right. So, are we done? Are we going to go? We all know who it is.
Quick hat tip to Dustin Hopkins for bouncing back after the first missed field goal and making a 53-yarder.
Which Tress owned that it was a bad hold on that.
Really?
Yeah. And Hop didn't want him to tell me that, but he told me that, and now I'm telling all of you guys that.
And thank you to the goalposts again. 2nd week in a row, it's gotten a good bounce.
Pete loves the goalpost bit.
Yeah, he loves the inanimate objects bit.
Yes.
He does.
All right, on to goats, JP.
Are we on to goats?
Are we on
to Cincinnati, Mitch?
We're on to goats.
On to goats, Cincinnati.
Alex, dude. Like, he's managing the game, and they're not turning the ball over, and that deserves to be applauded. But, like, I mean, the deep throw to Richardson was terrible. The 3rd-and-1 that where he misread, terrible. I mean, he's sailing the ball. I thought he seemed more comfortable today. Like, I didn't think we saw as much happy feet. I didn't think he was scrambling too early as much. He was just inaccurate.
There was something I wanted to bring up last week that I've noticed a few weeks in a row now. And it's clearly the way that Alex warms up. And it may be absolutely nothing. I'm no quarterback guru by any means, but when guys go out there to warm up before the game and they're throwing with the coaches or whatever, he doesn't practice dropping back.
He's always standing, right?
He's either standing still or he steps away to the left, so he's almost throwing out, like, away from him, from his body. Like, he just takes like 2 or 3 steps to his left and then throws out to the right, like almost at a diagonal angle as he's, like, warming up. And it just strikes me as odd. Like, is every quarterback, you know, they get the little ball flipped to them and they take 2 steps back and set and throw? And, like, maybe that's just what he does or whatever, but it's a weird way to warm up. And of all the quarterbacks that I've seen, and you know, both on the Redskins and other teams that we shoot warming up and doing all that stuff, I don't know that I've ever really noticed anyone else warm up in that fashion. Take that for what you will.
I'm incredibly intrigued by that.
Three straight games under 200 yards passing.
I think he's been a goat in three straight of our podcasts, and he's won every one. It's a weird dichotomy.
It is. I don't even know that he's a goat, dude. I mean, his stat line, 20 of 32, 178, and a touchdown. It's pedestrian.
It's so underwhelming. I don't know if it's very pedestrian. Yeah, it's just
it's underwhelming. I mean, but I don't know that he's a goat.
It's uninspiring.
But, like, he's goat kinda, means you messed up. He didn't mess up.
Right.
He's leaving a lot
on the field.
And it's not getting any better, which is concerning.
That's the thing, is I keep thinking it will get better, and I'm not sure it will anymore.
Like, the 220 number, the fact that... Sorry to get to over-unders if we don't need to yet,
He's jumping all guns.
Yeah. The fact that we set it at 220 in the 2018 NFL, and he's still coming up 40 yards short, it just is indicative of how whack this passing game is right now.
The second play of the game, they ran a cool play action to AP, and you had Paul Richardson running like a deep cross.
That boot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Paul was open for 15 yards, and he waited for him to cross all the way across before he got the ball out to him. And by that point, Janoris Jenkins, whoever it was able to break on it and break up the play. Almost got a pick on it. But it feels like you see wide receivers running open, and he's just not quick. He doesn't have a quick release. He doesn't make his mind quick enough to throw the ball. I don't know exactly what it is, but like, you see these guys that are open, and it's frustrating that he's not able to hit them. I'm sure those guys are frustrated too.
It's the one thing that's holding me back from being really, really pumped about 5-2. But of course, the defensive running game are amazing, and especially the defense is just so cool to see. But it's the one kind of catch for me until I see that improve, and I don't know if it will. I'm not going to be totally sold on this team being a super dangerous one. They can still compete, but I'm not all in until that happens, or if it ever doesn't, if that made any sense.
You think that's fair, Mitch?
I think that's fair. I think you can win with defense and running the football, but at some point you're going to have to score with somebody.
Or a but, whatever you want to say.
However,
if your defense is dominant, truly elite, like the defense, you talk about the 2000 Ravens or something, like that level, then you don't. I don't know that this defense is really good. I don't know that they're that.
Yeah.
So, JP, you and I were talking about it a little bit before we started this.
Right.
And me, I was there too.
When I changed in the parking lot.
Yes.
I was also there, Mitch.
Okay.
Jeez, Pete. So annoying.
How thirsty are you?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
I mean, how often do you ignore me?
Well, you weren't part of this conversation.
You might need to do more of it.
Either way, regardless, whoever
I've
was
been
a
nice
part
to
of the
be
conversation.
The whole podcast, and now it's just going to drive us crazy.
Regardless, this defense has played exceptionally to this point. They've also had a lot of very favorable matchups the last 3 weeks. And
right.
I think the next couple weeks when...
Yeah, you're stealing my bit now, dude.
No, this is my point.
It's like
to
the
you
cat
outside.
Picture, JP.
Oh, boy.
The cat picture.
I think we're going to see it. We're going to learn a lot the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, even
Atlanta is a more dangerous matchup for the Skins than Dallas and Carolina, because the Skins are built to stop the run. That's what they've spent their drafts on. You're going to get these high-flying, vertical passing attacks, and I don't know when we're seeing Dunbar back on the field. I guess the fact that he was only questionable for today is good.
He made the trip.
Right.
So
right.
I mean, if a guy is, terribly injured, he's not going to make the trip. So he was on the trip.
They wanted to test him this morning.
They never tested him on the field as far as I saw.
But Julio, Calvin Ridley, Mohamed Sanu coming to town next week, that's a different challenge.
And it's Matt Ryan, it's not Eli who's going to falter.
Right.
Yeah, the one offense they've played that was truly explosive torched them all night. Aaron Rodgers was hurt the game they played. It was raining, so this is going to be a very interesting
test.
But
the Panthers can score. The Panthers,
yeah,
Cam
but
is
they
legit.
Score in a different way.
Yeah, but like Cam can throw the ball too. I think I was on our post-game show with Grant and JP of the Junkies and Santana, and I think in a way we're forgetting about the Panthers win. What a good win that is.
Yeah,
Panthers are good, dude. They have a really good defense. Skins were able to score.
Well, they've proven that they can shut down elite running backs and elite running games.
Right.
I want to see them limit elite wide receivers. Right. And elite passing game.
Do you think they limited Odell today?
Yes.
Even though he had a century mark.
Because
there was no explosive plays.
No explosive plays. Right. No game changers. Two of those catches were in the fourth quarter.
A 44-yard one-hander while being interfered with was pretty explosive.
It was, but it didn't. I guess it didn't change the game.
Yeah.
Because they ended up punting on that drive.
I think a lot of that is Eli, though.
Yeah, certainly. That's what I'm saying. When we start seeing them against the Matt Ryans, and even if you go beyond that, Mike Evans and DeSean Jackson is still there. And then
Brian Fitzpatrick.
DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, you're all of a sudden going to start seeing more elite wide receivers, more elite passing games. At the one time, the Redskins held.
Right.
Two better passing games that they faced were both losses with the Colts and the Saints.
That's next week. We'll talk about that on Wednesday. Is Alex Smith a GOAT in this game?
What? No, but he gets a hat tip to a goat.
I was going
to
say, what's the hat tip of goat version? Like a frowny face?
Nah, it's like kicking a soda can or something.
A soda can kick?
I think he gets like a childish rub on the top of the head, like good job.
No, because we don't want to encourage. No.
Yeah,
we want to admonish him a little
bit. It's like
a tisk-tisk, like a finger wag.
Like, I don't know, dude. We'll figure it out.
I like the soda can kick. It was very random.
Yeah, that was
a soda can kick, dude. That's what it is. Any other goats? I mean, Hopkins missed the kick, but it didn't hurt him. It was a bad hold. They had some dumb penalties early on that hurt them on some drives. Vernon, I've never even seen that called on a little bubble screen.
Yeah, that was crazy. Odd.
If anything, you could call it holding, but it sure as hell wasn't OPI. You know what I mean? I don't know. Whatever.
I don't think he can be.
I also don't think to me, there was no real GOATs.
I agree.
Outside of whatever Alex was.
Yeah.
Correct? Everybody agreed?
Agreed.
All right.
I also think we're being pretty tough on Alex because he's...
That's why...
He's not turning over the ball. If he starts...
Plus eight turnover differential.
If he's doing this, if he's putting up these stats, but has a pick or two in a game
right.
The record's not 5-2. There, you know, then he's really pulling that goat ball.
Right. Dude, not turning the ball over matters a lot.
Because
we've seen it the other way where there's a ton of yardage and turnovers and you know, I don't know, man. I don't know what the hell to think anymore.
Yeah.
It's been a long 48 hours. All right, Pete, you got the over-unders?
Yes. Oh, Alex Smith, over-under, 220.
This is going to be a tough one for Mitch Button.
I went under, right?
Mitch, how's your buzzer sounding this weekend? Is it good?
What'd you say, over or under?
Hold on, are you guys going to make me buzzer myself?
Yes.
Yeah, that's very satisfying for
us. Yes, we are. So, Pete, I said under, correct?
Yes.
And Mitch, you said what?
I said over.
So what does that give you? Buzzering yourself is fantastic.
That was a really good buzzer, too. Much better than
yeah, dude, what was up with your buzzer
My
last
buzzer
week?
was not working last week.
All right.
I had a tough week.
AP, I think I'm... I don't know. I don't remember what the hell I said. Pete?
I didn't keep track of who said what. I just
you said over. You said over.
What is Peterson's number?
Oh, it was 88.
He is bad at this. We need you not to be driving and put
well,
you
you're
back
using
in
my phone
Hold
to record it, so
the
I can't
The number was not
it.
88. The number was 78.
All right.
78, I said over.
You said over.
You said over.
I said under.
Oh, another
Mitchell.
One. Go ahead. Damn, dude. And then the last one was Saquon total yards.
128.
And I said under. What'd you say?
Oh.
Not under.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. You got 0-3 and I went 3-0?
I had a big 0-3.
I need one more buzzer, sir.
Damn,
that's a bad weekend.
Yeah, it's a bad week.
All right, but... Here's what was a great weekend, was our trip to New York. I got up here a little earlier than these guys. I got to catch up with I don't even know how many bosses ago he was, but my old boss, Mike Wargo, one of the all-time good dudes.
Good grandfather, too.
I got a...
He's a goat in the millennial sense.
Yeah.
He's a goat in the millennial sense, sure. He bought me a milkshake, which was really fantastic. Then, dude, Danny Frank is just the biggest gangster ever. That dude, nobody has more juice than Danny Frank, man.
More juice than all of the juice.
All of the juice. Danny got
You guys remember, have you seen the when the Terps football team on the sideline has a sign that says excessive juice?
No, but
it's like excessive Danny. Juice with like, it just needs to be a picture of Danny Frank.
Danny has all the juice.
All of it.
So he got me a ticket for Warriors Knicks.
Oh, that's a pretty easy ticket.
Friday
to get.
Night. Yeah, dude. In a suite. It was dope. The Knicks actually played him pretty tough. It was a lot of fun. Caught up with some friends after the game. Saturday morning, I got to sleep in. I got breakfast. I watched game day.
It was funny.
No kids.
You called
no wife.
Mitch.
Like, I was
Mitch.
Just chilling. It was fantastic.
Yeah, you called Mitch and explained what you were doing, and in my head, I was like, this is what I do every morning, but
right.
I'm happy for JP that he got
yeah,
to
dude,
do well.
Once you're married, children, and have a real career, Pete, yeah. things get aggressive.
While JP was chilling and having his relaxed morning, Pete and I had a wonderful ride up from
it's great.
So
Bethesda.
Lovely.
It,
just jamming.
Took us just under 3.5 hours. We were listening to some Avicii, some
so much of Avicii was playing.
EDM oh yeah,
playlist.
Mitch
was actually loving it though.
I was feeling it.
All right, so we get to brunch. We're meeting our guy Chef Jack Harris at his restaurant Fairfax in the West Village, West 4th Street, I believe. Place is awesome. My boys up in New York have like all love that place. So when I told them we were going there, they're like, for real? Like that place is awesome.
How incredible was it?
Really cool, like interesting,
very cool,
like
spot.
Bohemian. It was awesome. It was very cool. Chef Jack took great care of us.
The best
food
care.
Was fantastic. I wish I had those Brussels sprouts right now.
I would kill for a burger with
yeah,
some
pimento
cheeseburger.
Yeah, dude, all of it was great.
You even tried salmon.
How about the egg and cheese sandwich with the?
What was the meat on that?
It was a Virginia
like prosciutto?
Ham.
Okay,
Virginia
yeah,
ham.
That was great.
But it had the. I think he said it had a habanero.
Salsa or
some
yeah,
sort
yeah,
on
yeah.
it. It was spectacular.
Dude, I had lox. If you're familiar with Mitch and I, we have long debated how gross lox are, and I am firmly in the very gross camp.
I think it's delicious.
But it was avocado toast, everything bagel with lox and avocado.
Everything bagel seasoning on top of avocado, some cucumber, the lox.
It was great.
It was
great.
All of the food was really good.
And Mitch
the
loved
drinks,
his girly drink
the
that
drinks
he
were good.
Slammed in one sip.
I slammed the red girly drink in one sip, which is becoming a thing now that
and
I guess every time we're out on the road, I'm slamming drinks.
And if you want to see that, go to @RedskinsTalkPod on Instagram. JP put up a video of it.
Plug. All right, but here was the coolest part. So
the coolest part.
Knew we were meeting Chef Jack. That's who I thought we were meeting. But we talked about it on the podcast last week. And so listeners just showed up, and it was like an impromptu podcast party, and it was
a full-on podcast party.
It was
Coast
awesome.
Guard shirts.
It was
we got,
fun, dude.
They were taking photos of us. They were FaceTiming friends, like, I'm sitting with Mitch. Yo, Mitch, say
it was awesome. So my boy Sean, my boy Tack,
okay, so let's,
Mark,
so, yeah, JP. So
say all the names.
Sarah.
So,
hi, Sarah.
Oh, real quick, JP was a little late, as usual. So Pete and I were there hanging out, and Tack and his girlfriend Sarah came up to say hi to us, and they were eagerly awaiting to meet JP. Tack was super excited, and he was saying that because we had mentioned on the pod and he was friends with Chef Jack that a couple people might stop by, and he kept being like, you know, we don't want to bother you, like, go ahead and sit down. We're like, dude, like, we have a table for five, there's just three of us, like, grab a seat, guy, like, let's, you know, we'll have a beer, we'll hang out, and all of a sudden, there were 20 guys at our table, 15 guys at our table, if you want to call out those names now.
I'm trying to remember everybody's name. Pete, did you help?
I kind of said
Mark,
all the ones that I remember, yeah.
Mark? What was the Coast Guard guy's name?
Oh, that was Greg.
That was Greg.
His lovely wife. Greg said he reads our stuff, listens to our stuff.
Yeah, man.
Greg's wife was an angel because Greg
she
and his
was
wife,
cool, dude.
Greg and his wife were there
with
another
their
set
friends.
Of friends.
Right, right,
and
right.
She let Greg just hang out with us the entire
right,
day,
right, right,
which
right.
was awesome.
Yeah, Greg was a beast.
What was we're blanking one dude's name.
Yeah,
Sean was crazy.
Sean is a maniac.
Sean was so boring.
Sean
and not
was,
fun to be around.
Sean was trying to get me and Mitch into some big trouble, dude.
Yes,
oh my god. We're forgetting one
big
guy.
Big fan of Sean, but he's nuts.
The cologne guy who did cologne and
yeah,
the fragrances.
Just
the
a
IFF.
Professional cologne.
IFF.
I'm totally blanking on his name, but he was very smart, very cool,
yeah.
very nice.
And I think he was a Terp, right?
He was a Terps in 2005, my year.
All right.
And all those dudes go to Redemption bars.
If you're in New York, go to Redemption's. It sounds wild. These dudes have like, all these chants.
There's two bars that are like
amazing.
Big
they do shots
bars.
Of Pinot Grigio for every touchdown.
And they chant P-I-N-O-T.
Yeah, dude.
It sounds like a wild time. They were telling us some of the stories of the chants and the songs.
It seems like an obvious place to host our podcast party if we ever have one.
I tell you what. I'm putting this in. Write it down. We are going to have an NYC podcast party. It probably won't be till we got the rest of the season's going to be pretty busy. Then I got a baby arriving in January. So it's probably not going to be till like March. Maybe we do like a March Madness podcast party in New York City. How's that sound? But hey, Tock, you're in charge. Get Redemption's.
Yes.
Get us lined up with a night, and we'll make it happen.
Is the ACC tournament back in New York? Because that would be a cool way to wrap it around.
Something else is.
Yeah.
Like the A-10.
There are 100 other tournaments that are going to be in New York.
Yes. Yeah, we'll find something fun to do in New York. All right, so from just a really great time at Fairfax, really good people, a lot of fun.
Like, we went there expecting that we were going to eat and, like, hang out with Chef Jack
a little bit,
and then we were gonna kind of move on, and we were spending what 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah,
there.
Dude.
Chef Jack was showing us his tattoos. Like,
he's got the Sean Taylor tat. Yeah, dude, it was fun. I don't know that I'm allowed to say this. A lot of pretty women hang out at Fairfax, also.
Yes.
I don't think they were there for the podcast party.
They most certainly were not interested in.
Oh, I was hoping they would be, though, and think we were hot shit and come hang out with us, but it didn't really work out. But that's okay. It's okay.
All right, so
I did get a girl's number. It's fine.
He did. He was all New York City Pete, all geeked up.
NYC Pete.
So from there, we haven't been calling him Paul. We got to call him Paul. Pete's name is now Paul, so everybody tweet at him, Paul.
Hey, Paul.
Perfect.
So from there, we went to our buddy Rudy's party down at this place, Pier A, which was just super cool, really good food.
Yeah, more free food and beer, which was exactly what we needed.
And it's a shame the weather was so bad, because that place looked really cool.
It looked really cool. Rudy, happy 30th birthday, buddy.
Happy 30th birthday, buddy. From there, we went to Billy Joel with our guy Danny Frank, who not only has the most juice in the universe, but he's also, like, the most gracious dude. You know what I mean? Like you can't thank him enough, and he's just so cool about everything.
The most down-to-earth family.
Yeah.
How cool is his wife?
His wife, his daughter, dude. They're great.
It's
they're
incredible.
Great. Like, for who they are and what they are and the world they get to live in, they're just the coolest, nicest people.
Yes,
I sang Piano Man at the top of my lungs with both Danny and his wife.
Yeah, Danny was doing over-under bits with me with how many songs I knew. I covered the over eventually, but it looked dicey there for a bit. But
midway through, two songs in, Danny walks up. He's like, "Oh, hey guys, I got the set list." And
right.
They're like, "Wait, what?"
Yeah.
He's like, "Yeah, I got the set list. This is what we're doing."
Who gets the set list
midway through the show?
Right,
just
right,
a G.
Like, somebody had to bring that to him.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, somebody knew to bring him the set list. That's juice, dude. Just a great, great night.
It was a really fun, cool time with some awesome people.
Yeah, dude.
It was really
everything was awesome. And then the Skins had just a dominant win, which, you know what, like, Pete and I grew up rooting for this team. The job kind of changes how you function with it, but our jobs are way better when they win.
Way better.
Like, this podcast better, post-game interviews are more fun, like, this week will
the
be more fun. Like, dude, it's just...
They're 5-2.
They're 5-2 and 2-0 in the division, man. It's a good weekend.
Embrace it.
Things are moving, buddy.
Things are moving, dude.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check.
Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman, Key of Alexandria. Let's ride together.
As always, thank you to the good folks, Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. Thank you to the good folks at Fairfax. Thank you to good folks at The Garden, who had to deal with me two nights in a row.
Good folks at Danny Frank.
Which, let me tell you, Danny Frank is the best.
Dealing with JP at The Garden two nights in a row was a lot.
All right, man, that's it. Follow us on Instagram. We're going to respond to everybody.
Paul is in charge of responding.
Paul
to
is in charge.
Yeah, whoever Paul is in charge.
Paul is in charge.
All right, I'll tell Paul that he's in charge.
I still don't know why we're calling you Paul, but I'm in on it.
No, I don't really know either, but let's just...
We're calling you Paul.
Okay.
All right, that's it. Stay tuned tomorrow, day after pod. I'll talk to Gruden. We'll see if he thinks I'm being negative again, and we'll do what we can. If you made it this far, I owe you a beer.
What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.